All three services have been a little bit different. In the first service, our guest worship leader for the retreat, Amy Berna, spoke. And so if you weren't able to be here for that, she did a great job. And that sermon will be posted online this afternoon. And then Carrie spoke in the second service. And then this third service, we thought we'd do something a little bit different. And I thought we would share a little bit about the woman, the myth, and the legend that is Carrie Bourne. But you guys get to hear from me all the time, and we really don't get to hear from her a whole lot. And so we thought we'd just share a little bit of our history and kind of what makes this season special. Because every year at our men's retreat and at our women's retreat, when we return from those, you can just feel it in the atmosphere. You know, whenever people have committed their lives to God and worship is more authentic and they're spiritually focused, that's really a special time. So if you're a guest with us today, that's kind of what you're walking into. And all these women that went to retreat, they had a great time. And so I thought we'd just share a little bit about kind of the history and what makes it all special for us. So Carrie, I have a couple of questions for you. This is going to be interview style. Y'all ready for this? Whenever you think about this time of the year, what makes this time special for you?
Well, women's retreat every year. This was our 10th anniversary retreat, if you don't know that already. So we've learned a lot through the years. We were excited to finally hit that mark. And we were telling Amy kind of the history yesterday. And in our first retreat, there wasn't really a direction of any kind. We ate cold SpaghettiOs out of a bowl for the activity. We didn't really have a point to anything. And our worship, we said we'd like pushed a CD player, you know, play on the CD player. And so we've watched God just really, this whole process has been amazing to be a part of. So every year, it gets better and better. And for me, really being able to get away and unplug, right? There's something about that. To not have to redirect little ones or, you know, to cook dinner, do laundry, and all the stuff that moms do. And so to unplug from that, but to really be able to focus and turn our attention somewhere else. And really what happens is there's a special bond that takes place when you're able to get away. And you don't forget the experiences or the things that you've accomplished when you're there through the power of God. And, of course, the best thing for me, what makes it so special, is watching, you know, people go from A to B and watching God work in their lives. That's what really does it for me, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why we promote retreats so heavily, because I think if you've been in other churches, I would say that 99% likelihood what you'll experience at a Genesis Metro retreat is very different than just going to a conference. A conference is when you just go and listen to people speak. A retreat, the way that we do them, it's a full-on, full-contact, you know, activity where you're engaged and you're challenged and you're pushed. And one of our three C's at Genesis Metro, we have three connection points: connection to Christ, connection to the cause, and then the third one, connection in community. And I just encourage you that really what makes this special is these women that go out there, they have a chance to have a unique experience that's unlike anything they do for generally the rest of the year, and that's to spend 48 hours straight with some people that you don't know or you don't know very well, and then you share struggles, strengths, and you get to experience that with them, and really that's what community is all about. So when you think about retreat, we want you to experience community, and we've manufactured a way to create that opportunity. But it's not just retreat. It's, you know, life groups. It's serving together in teams. It's going on mission trips. There's all kinds of ways that you personally can experience community. When our kids go away to their camp, you know, I can tell you that's a week-long affair. And, man, that lives are changed for a reason. It's not that there's something special at El Oso Ranch or somewhere up in Colorado, wherever they may go. It's not that there's something special about that place. It's about the people of God having a special focus for an extended period of time. And so that focus is available to us on a daily basis. And I'll tell you, community, when you're around other Christian people, that's what encourages you. Because if you're an island unto yourself, I promise you, you will wear down over time, or you'll get caught in a trap that was unexpected. Whenever you have people walking with you, you have more eyes that are able to see things that could get in your way. And so we just really encourage you to think about all the opportunities at our church that are availed to you for community connections. And so if you're not in any of those pools of places, men's studies, women's studies, whatever it may be, I really strongly encourage you to think about what you're getting out of your relationship with God, what you're getting out of your faith is usually directly tied to how connected you are. Carrie, I thought also maybe this year, I don't know if you had any, I assume you did, what are some highlights that you might want to share?
Well, some highlights. One of the things that that we took part in was we created this whole afternoon activity. So you've seen some highlights, and we actually carried a backpack full of bricks around in the afternoon, which, you know, was heavy and hot. It was hot. It was almost 90 degrees there that day. So that was to represent just the weight of life that we carry around. And we had to do that for about 3 hours, it ended up being. And so some got heavy, and so there were teammates that would take the backpacks for their teammate and carry it for them so they could get a break. And what does that represent in life? What that represents is if we don't have someone standing beside us, standing with us, to help us carry those burdens, then when it does get too heavy, what options do we have? Do we have options on the table to reach out and experience community, as Pastor Tim was just saying? So that was a really big picture. And we also had an opportunity to kind of write down some things that God has taken us through, some things, some victories that he's given us. We had some time to stand in a circle and compliment each other, which seems like kind of a simple thing to do.
I doubt we're going to do that at men's retreat.
I doubt you will.
Hey, guys, circle up. We're going to do a compliment circle.
There are some things like eating gross animals, insects, we don't do at women's retreat that you do at men's retreat. So it's okay. We can have some separation. But that was a cool moment to watch. Some people do not like to receive compliments. Are you one of those people? Like, it makes you terribly uncomfortable. That is not fun for you. So that was outside your comfort zone. Or there's some that like, I'll stand up. I'll take all the compliments you want to give me, right? Let me have some of those people. I know you're out there. I'm kind of in that category myself. But it was funny that what we
you
saw
look
was...
very pretty.
Thanks. I like your mustache you got growing there.
That's a seven. This is my seventh grade.
He said to me last
mustache.
Night. Yes, he's a mountain man.
I'm now a mountain man.
He's going on his adventure tomorrow.
I will only answer to mountain man.
Someone asked me what the caterpillar was above your lip. I said, what caterpillar? It took me a minute. So don't you just love him? I love him standing up here with his little mustache.
She also likes these shoes.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. He went rogue. He came, showed up in those.
Don't they look good? No. See, all the guys like, yeah, tennis shoes.
No.
Makes the outfit.
Back to the highlights.
Oh, yeah, highlights.
Back to the highlights. Let's focus. Focus. Anybody? All right. So then the thing that really, really took it to the next level was once we got through some of these, you know, feel-good moments where we felt kind of good about where we were and we were bonding with each other, we started walking through some scriptures that were posted. And what happened in that moment was we created these signs, you know, with different scriptures on them. We kind of chose them really specifically to speak life into people. We did not plan that there would be a line forming, that people were taking time to stop and take in and soak in those scriptures. Some groups were reading them out loud together. Some were taking pictures. Some just broke down right in front because it was all of a sudden the Word of God was inserted into the middle of this activity, in the middle of, you know, a field, basically, and we watched him start to work. And that preceded the thing that really took it over the edge, and that was like a massive wall that our incredible band built for us. They worked very, very hard in the hot sun. And the wall was constructed together, and it was a flat panel, but it was made up of 18 individual walls to be broken through. Each wall set, you know, was spray painted with a certain word, and those words depicted things like breakthrough, prevail, stand still, fear not. So we were breaking through the things that we needed to tear down in front of the Lord, but also words of life that he promises on the other side of a breakthrough. So once that started and axes were flying, there might have been some danger involved. I did hear a story just a few minutes ago that one woman, you know, sort of lost control, almost lost that axe. But praise God, he kept it in her hand so nobody lost their head. So she breaks through the walls. And what was cool at this point was it took us a little bit, you know, we're women, so it took us a little bit to get through these walls. I, at first, you know, was swinging that axe and it was kind of bouncing off the wood at me. It took a minute to get through, which was cool to watch because everything that took place represented something that was happening in the spiritual, and we watched God do that. Once the hole was big enough, the teams were organically grabbing hands and walking through together on the other side of that. On the other side, what we had prepared was a place for us to grab a cross. There were crosses there for each team, and each team was able to kind of sit and just meditate and be before the Lord at their cross. What was God saying? And so we had the opportunity to carry that cross to know what it feels like. I came home with bruises on my shoulders. I don't know if anybody else did. But we were able to carry that cross as a team as many times as the Lord was leading. And in that moment, what we saw was this beautiful picture of feeling just a little bit, just a morsel of what our Savior must have felt as he carried the cross for us. Of course, this is nothing like what he experienced with finished wood, stained really nicely. But we were able to really experience that in the moment. So those were some huge highlights this year. Of course, worship brought it all together that night. I know there are so many stories from small group times. We really believe at GM that retreat should really be about the small group. Because when you walk into a room of 150 people and you don't know anyone, that might be a little intimidating, especially as women. So what we try to do is, as we get bigger, we try to create a smaller atmosphere so that you don't walk in alone and you're with people and you can actually plug in. So those were some huge highlights for us.
Man, I know that there's probably some people here that didn't go to retreat and that they're hearing all of these stories. And the great thing about it is, I think I have a verse, John 21, verse 25. I want us to think about this, and the band can be making their way back up on the stage. We're going to have a little bit of extended time of worship today. But it says, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Man, when you just think about that verse, just like drink that in for a moment. We only get the highlights and the gospels of Jesus Christ. We only get the highlights. But one day, I suppose, we'll stand in heaven and we'll get to hear the rest of the story. And the great thing about that is that you get to be a part of the rest of the story. That you get to be a part of what Jesus Christ is doing here on this earth. There's so much more happening in any given gathering. In this room this morning, I guarantee you, there are people that are going through struggles. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are on the verge of making bad decisions. There are people that are right now wrapped up inside of sin and bad decisions, and their heart is desperately yearning for a way out, but their flesh is saying, no, this is so comfortable, this is so cozy. I want to stay right here inside of this. And so there's like a bittersweet, you know, contrast going on in their lives. Everybody in here has a story, and I just want you to think about where you're going. Like, how do you want that story to end? I love this because it says that if the world itself could never contain all that Jesus Christ did in the very short time he was on this earth. Now, where his chapter ends is really where you have the opportunity to begin, because it says that we are his representation here on this earth. So you have the opportunity to literally to pick up the pen in your everyday life and continue the story of Jesus Christ. He said that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And last time I checked, the Bible says that because of our sin, we were all at one time in that state. So if you have called upon the name of Christ and you've asked him to save you from your sins, then now you have the responsibility and the opportunity, the privilege, to write that story for those around you. Because I guarantee you, there's people that you are in contact with every day that you have no idea what their story is. Case in point, last night I'm on Facebook, staying up late, collaborating a little bit with Paul Leonard, and he's making the video that you saw at the beginning, and he's like, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, is that done? Is that enough? How long do you want it? And so as I'm doing that, I'm bored, and what do you do when you're bored? I scroll through Facebook, and here was this video, and one of my friends from Tulsa said, you got to watch this, it'll change your life. And I thought, really? That's my first instinct, really? Change my life? I doubt it. And so it was just this guy, and his name was Brian. It's like Brian's story. And I was like, oh, okay, click. And so lo and behold, while we were going through the interview process, a long time ago for a student pastor or children's pastor, I don't even know what it was, we had went to Tulsa to interview one of my friends, and his friend was also considering moving churches, and we interviewed him. And so Jeremy and I spent like an hour and a half with this guy, and it was a great meeting. You just tell this guy, you know, some people you get around and like they ooze Jesus, right? And it's just like, you know, he wasn't like a super spiritual guy, but just like, he was like, man, this is a solid guy. I mean, I could be friends, I could hang out with this guy. We could be bros, right? And so we talked, and you know, that was it. So this video, he has a beard now, and like he had a hat on. I totally didn't recognize, I met him one time. So I hit play, and like 5 minutes in, I'm like, I'm hooked. I'm like, who is this cat? And then like it shows an older picture, and that's the one that I met like 4 years ago, one time, sat in his front room for 2 hours. And I was like, amazed. This guy grew up without a father. And he was raised and he felt abandoned. He grew up with a mom that they lived in the projects. And when he got old enough, he always lived by the mountains. And he's like, man, I need to go in the mountains. Like the mountains were calling his name. And so when he got to 18, he wanted to climb this really difficult mountain. And his mom said, if you're going to move out, if you're going to climb that mountain, you might as well just pack all your stuff up and not come home. And so he did. And so he went on this expedition life and moved to Wyoming and became a trail guy. And he was just like, show people how to climb. All this stuff, the guy that was his boss said, hey, come pick up your paycheck at this address. He goes to pick up his paycheck, and the guys invite him to this little church in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, of 50 people. And he sits through the service, and he leaves it, and he said, I hated it. He goes, I couldn't tell you one word that guy said, but there's something inside of me that just felt just like just uncomfortable. And he said, but then there was a part of me that wanted to go back. And he tricked his girlfriend like the way he was tricked the next week to go with him to the service. And at the last part of the service, the pastor said, you know, if anyone would like to be saved, stand up. And he said, he was sitting there, and all of a sudden, he said his wife, or his girlfriend at that time, stands up. And then later on, they're rehearsing. She goes, I didn't even know what I was doing. She goes, I just started standing up, and I was like, what am I doing? I guess I'm getting saved. I don't know. And so they go on to live this incredible life, and recently he just ran across the entire country of Mongolia for God. And that's like one of the concluding chapters of this guy's life right now. Now he started off in a broken home in the projects without a father, and now he's running across a country for Jesus Christ. Everyone has a story. We sat in that guy's living room. I could have told you, this guy to me seemed like a happy life. I couldn't tell you that guy ever struggled a day in his life. And the truth of the matter is, everyone in here, you have your story. And I'm sure when some of those women stopped and read some of those verses or swung that axe or picked up the cross, whatever it was, I guarantee you, some of those things that you've gone through in your life, what do? They instantly, through the Spirit, come to your mind and you think, thank God. Thank God for allowing me to overcome some of these things. I'll leave it to you.
There were a couple of stories that I wanted to share. I won't share names, but there were some things that happened this week. And every time my eyes fell upon certain ones, tears just welled up in my eyes and my heart just wanted to burst. I watched one family who was there with three generations. And what happened was three generations of breakthrough took place. God speaking instrumentally, specifically to each woman in that family, all in different groups, all experiencing Jesus in different ways. Three generations of breakthrough. Another woman who refused to be around women last year at all. Like, that is not happening. Don't ask me again. And what happened this year was that she went at the invitation of several friends, and she has experienced God like never before. I talked to another woman who her first time to come to retreat was 4 years ago, and the 4 years ago woman that she was and who she is today is completely different. In fact, her husband has been saved since then. She's been saved since then. Their entire family's focus has changed. And of course, that will change her children's lives forever. And what we see is God working. I saw a girl come who has struggled with addiction this year, and I'm sure there are more out there. And God has completely set her free in the midst. He has broken every chain, all the walls. And he is beaming through her face, literally oozing Jesus, as Tim said. These are God's success stories. His success rate is 100% all the time, every day. And that's what we have to count on. That's a confidence we have in him. We put no confidence in the flesh. We put all of our confidence in him. Today, let's stand and worship. Let's give him all the praise he deserves, because that's what he does. He takes our little bit and he makes a lot out of it. He takes our story and he puts his power in it. He mixes it up and he makes something out of our lives that we thought would never take place.